May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Jesus our Saviour, Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the title for tonight's passage is Jesus' Authority. He came to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. And as we're going through, I haven't got specifically 3 points tonight, but I want you to be thinking about how this affects our prayer, our worship, and our mission. So as we think about Jesus' authority and the difference that it makes, we're going to consider how it makes a difference to me personally and us as a church too. Now, definition for authority is the power to determine, to adjudicate or otherwise settle issues or disputes, to jurisdiction, the right to control, command or determine, a power or a right delegated or given, and we're quite familiar with the phrase authorisation. Now, earlier in the week, we was having a conversation and we were talking as a staff team about attitudes towards authority, thinking about how they've changed over time. And we can probably identify and notice changes in our society. But I wondered that as things change around us, does that then affect how we respond? And about our personal attitudes to authority, and do we need to be attentive to those tonight? So the question I asked was, has my attitude changed towards authority? And then how does that view the way that I look at God? Who do we look to as authority figures in the world, perhaps? And do we trust what they say is true? What is truth? So let's look to our reading. And it was the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry that was promised to us in the scriptures. Now, first of all, in the story, the Pharisees would not have been very happy because it says that Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath. However, his teaching was making an impact, and it said the people were amazed and astonished because his teaching possessed authority. We know that Jesus was human, but also divine. He was the Word become flesh, so it's not surprising to us that people were amazed and astonished, because we know the whole story. We've read the story and we know today the reality of who Jesus is. But they were seeing this for the first time. And there was a man with an unclean demon, and Jesus heals him. Now, demon activity was rampant in the Roman Empire at this time. The demons operate in the spirit realm, and they function by controlling the bodies of people they invade. But God is in control of the spiritual realm, and he can control the demons. The demon asks if Jesus had come to destroy. Jesus had come to destroy the power of Satan by dying on the cross, and the demons knew this already. The demon goes on to recognise that God is the Holy One. He said, "You are the Holy One of God." So demons are recognising Jesus' authority. Can we acknowledge that he is the Holy One of God? And do we recognise his power and authority? Jesus orders the demons to be quiet and to leave the man alone. The demon did come out, and there was no harm done to the man. Again, they were all amazed as they watched this happen. It is amazing to watch change happen directly in front of your eyes. It is encouraging to see the power of God at work. We shouldn't really be amazed because we know how powerful our God is. But often we are. We pray and sometimes we are surprised when we see answers to our prayers. We doubt God instead of having faith some of the time. This miracle gave Jesus credentials. The people who saw it were very impressed. He commands the unclean spirit who obeys him. Another miracle says the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus commands authority because of who he is. The atonement theory, Christus Victor, tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, he defeated the devil. Satan, whose names mean accuser, and his demons work in opposition to Christ. Satan longed for power. That was his main problem. And the demons do too. They are part of a spiritual battle that we are in. But good news, because Satan's power is limited by God. He is not equal to God. Satan was defeated at the cross and is subject to Jesus' authority. Hallelujah. We are not immune from the schemes of the evil one. He prowls round like a lion, waiting to devour, wanting to distract us and to create distance between us and God. We say, using words of liturgy, "Only say the word and I shall be healed." Do we believe this? Do we have faith? Jesus has the power to break chains. And actually, when you see our new logo and it's explained to you, there's a picture on there of chains being broken. Power to set people free from addictions and provide healing. Freedom for the prisoners. God is victorious and has authority over all evil, principalities and powers. In Ephesians 6 it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We need to stay close to Jesus and listen to him and not listen to the lies of the enemy. Seeing this happen in front of their eyes created a stir and everybody was talking about it. You can imagine, can't you? And that was just the start, because then Jesus goes to visit Simon, whose mother-in-law was ill. So there's always more. And as they arrived, they asked Jesus to help her. They appealed to him on her behalf. Now this phrase reminded me of prayer and how important it is to pray for those who we know who are sick and weak and maybe cannot pray for themselves. It really encourages me if I know that others are praying for me, and I know that there have been times in my life where I couldn't pray for myself and I knew other people were praying and they got me through the tough times. Like the friends who lowered their mate through the roof so that Jesus would heal. Let's be encouraged never to stop praying for others who are in need. Again, being attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and being obedient to pray, whatever time of day or night. She was immediately healed. Once he had rebuked the fever, and then she got up and she started serving. So again, it was obvious, it was visible something had happened and she was okay. It's interesting to note that all who came to him and were prayed for were healed. He laid hands on them, each one, and he healed them. So it was not a corporate mass healing. It was an actual one-to-one ministry time with Jesus that demonstrated care and intimacy. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus was performing miracles, and he was demonstrating that scripture was being fulfilled. In the book of James, it says, "Is anyone among you ill? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." Jesus encourages us to ask for healing. In the scriptures that we looked at last week, it says he will give sight to the blind, not just physically but spiritually. And he will give liberty for those who are oppressed. In the Common Worship Book, there's a prayer for healing that says, "Your anointed Son brought healing to those in weakness and distress. He broke the power of evil and set us free from sin and death, that we might become partakers of his glory." And this is what we believe. And then there's a little bit more to the story, because after this, Jesus went to a desolate place. He wanted to pray. This is another example of how important it is to pray and also to retreat to quiet places. The people did not want him to leave, but he said he must go. He said he must go to preach the good news in other towns, saying that he was sent for this purpose. And so he did go on to preach in Judea. It's important to remember that we don't have exclusive rights to a relationship with Jesus. It needs to be shared. Preaching needs to happen, along with prayer. This is the mission of the church, to share the good news with others. Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor. Many who don't believe are still happy to have prayers said for them and appreciate the concern. Prayer brings people to Jesus. All need to recognise Jesus' power and authority. And when we do this, then we worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to evidence this in our own lives and share it with others. We need to bow the knee to his authority. A few months ago, Nick did a Hungry for God and talked all about worship. And some of the Greek words in worship talk about kneeling, prostrating, and about submitting to a higher authority. And we know that to be Christ. Nearly there. So Jesus summoned his disciples and gave them authority. Authority to drive out evil spirits and to cure every kind of disease and sickness. And that comes from Matthew 10. There are so many stories in the Bible where Jesus heals. He heals men and women, young and old. And do you remember the story where he brought Lazarus back to life? We worship a mighty God. The deaf hear and the dumb speak in Mark 7. In Mark 5, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The kingdom of God is here. It arrived when Jesus came, and it's here, and Jesus wants to work through us. So tonight, let's recognise his authority, pray, and worship, and share in his mission. Let's ask for forgiveness for our unbelief, and give us more faith. And I'm just going to leave a little gap now, where we probably know lots of people who aren't very well. I'm just going to use a prayer from Common Worship, out of the healing service. So let's just be still for a moment. In the name of God, and trusting in his might alone, may we receive Christ's healing touch. And we pray for those who we know who aren't very well, Lord, that you would make them whole. May Christ bring you wholeness of body, mind and spirit, and deliver you from every evil, and give you his peace. Amen.